Hi, and welcome to Last Man Standing. Here with me, Paul Stevenson, on this Saturday, the 7th of October, 2023. I don't remember experiencing a year that has flown by as quickly as this. It's just the weeks just seem to just disappear. But anyway, welcome to the show. Of course, do support the network. You can donate by mail. You can send money orders payable to RBN. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can donate by phone. The number there is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And what else have we got? If you want to call in, you can call in on 512-248-8252 or on toll-free 800-313-9443. So, yeah, there's a lot to get through today. As usual, we probably won't have time to get through everything. But there is a NATO article on the NATO's website that we want to get to, which is concerning. And also, an interesting story over here, which kind of encapsulates two major themes that I often talk about and that are pertinent today in Europe, which, as I say, encapsulates the whole war in Ukraine, but specifically the cost of it and of the refugees that have flooded into Europe as a result of the completely avoidable war in Ukraine. And immigration, because the Swiss authorities are reportedly willing to pay Ukrainian refugees if they agree to go home. So we'll break that down, because there's a lot to unpack with that theory or that story and that whole idea. So we'll also be talking to Richard. Richard Carey is with me today, Richard, or everyone. And I haven't been on Richard's show for a couple of weeks. So it's great to have you with me, Richard. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm good, Paul. Glad to be here. I've been listening, you know, catching your shows in this slot. Good to join you. And yeah, this is a unique opportunity. I appreciate it. Looking forward to the exchange. And yeah, I had a look at this. Well, not in depth of the article. You know, what you're going to read from. I didn't go to the full article, but I saw the commentary, and looking forward to your presentation and including that today.
Yeah, and we'll get to that after this story, because as I say, I thought this story is really interesting, because if this story has any legs to it, this will open a whole can of worms, because if the Swiss government can incentivize, and that is what they're reportedly doing. They're reportedly incentivizing to pay Ukrainian refugees up to 4,000 euros or the equivalent of $4,000, I think it is, if they agree to go home. But when I look more at the article, it does get a little bit more heavy-handed, where they're sort of agreeing to be patient at the minute. But they, you know, they've offered up to 4,000 to each one of them willing to leave. Because if we can, you know, if we can incentivize, and if something like this happened and was reasonably effective, Ukrainian refugees to go back home, then why couldn't we deport or give incentives to, say, Syrian refugees who have come here, who are not European, who are much different from Ukrainians in terms of ethnicity or in terms of race, particularly, to some extent, religion as well. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of Muslims coming in or Jews coming in from Ukraine. So that's a really interesting story. Your thoughts on that? And then we'll try and get to that NATO story if we've in the next part of the show.
Well, yes, every angle regarding these so-called migrants is controlled as far as how we're supposed to think about them, isn't it? I mean, refugees, the term refugees in general, for that matter. But I've even heard the term climate refugees. You know, if all else fails, in some cases they can always be called climate refugees to get them into our countries. I heard claims the Biden administration is starting some direct deportations to Venezuela. But I think it's a token gesture. Over in Ukraine, I think that, yes, it's very controlled as far as the races that are allowed to come in, the ones they're trying to eliminate. I think that's a big part of it. You know, the European genetic stock included in Ukraine, they'd like largely replaced with multicultural diversity of races. And, you know, some even suggest that Israel wouldn't mind having a second home base just for, you know, extra safety in the long term. Now, the turmoil in the Middle East, and I mean, well, the biggest support they have militarily, Israel, that is, from their neighbors, is all the white majority countries. You know, America and Europe, Canada, traditionally. So as they have this a gradual Kalergi plan in Europe and America, they're going to have to find some way to deal with that, aren't they, Paul?
Yeah, well, it makes sense, actually. I mean, yeah, you know, it is an ethnic cleansing operation, and a mass slaughter of Ukrainians has been going on there. And yeah, I mean, they're aware, and they're aware of their history that, they, you know, or I don't know, I guess they, however they understand it, they are so, how can you put it, antisocial to their neighbors that eventually they get rounded on. And I think the Arab nations have already had enough of the Israelis. So, I mean, they're probably thinking, okay, let's have a backup plan here, because we're Jews and we're always on the move. That would actually make some sense. But, you know, the Ukrainians, for example, we had a lot of Polish immigrants come over here and a lot of Eastern European immigrants come over here and the Nazis and things like that. But the second generation always integrated very well. Unlike second generation and third generation Muslims, you're always going to have the same problems or largely the same problems with sub-Saharan African immigrants who come in the second, third generation. There might be a slight improvement in the black peoples, but largely they're still very prone to violent sexual crime, and they're very costly. The Muslims are a huge problem. You know, they're even worse in the second and third generations. Whereas Ukrainians, the country has an epidemic of corruption. But once removed from that environment, you know, a lot of Ukrainians will integrate, and certainly their children will integrate pretty successfully. But you don't hear any reports of, well, incentivizing, you know, as far as I know, there's not really a war in Syria anymore. Okay, there's some stuff going on there, but there's never been a suggestion of any European country deporting any or incentivizing financially any Syrians. And if you were to suggest such a thing, like people like us have, then you're considered to be basically, you know, Adolf Hitler, essentially, or, you know, something akin to that. And but at the same time, you know, there's been a lot of, and I don't really blame them, which is why I'm ambivalent about the Ukrainian refugees, because they have taken advantage of the situation. They're, you know, I lived in Northern Ireland throughout the Troubles. It's a very small place. I never saw a shot fired. We lived a pretty normal life. Now, obviously, things have changed with that war in Ukraine, but the money's still coming on in from America. It's essentially a 51st state of America now. It's paying everything there. It's paying wages for all sorts of people and bureaucracy. So things are ticking over that way. But when the image that people have when in peaceful countries is that refugees fleeing war, you know, they're basically, you know, waiting for missiles to hit their homes every day, which is just not the case. But, you know, it's presented as if it's the Blitzkrieg. And in the era of uber precision missiles, and regardless of the catastrophe or the atrocity propaganda that were fed with the BBC and mainstream media, that the Russians are targeting civilian areas. It's very, very rare that a missile will hit a civilian area by Russians. And if so, it's probably because they got some intelligence, you know, guys or military guys hiding out in schools or in restaurants or whatever. But Ukraine is a massive place. You know, this war is fought out in open plains. So you have a lot of people from Ukraine who have taken the opportunity where they realize the red carpet's been rolled out for them. But now the red carpet's been rolled back because this has been a political, not a war situation for the most part. It's been a political war, you know, and so it's been, the red carpet has been rolled out for the Ukrainians because that's in vogue at the moment. And it's a difficult one because these are people who have seen the opportunity to flee, for the most part, a horrible country in many ways, outside of maybe parts of Kiev and things like that. It's a very corrupt, poor country. And so, you know, what do you do with these people? What is right? What's wrong there? I mean, I'd much prefer to incentivize the sub-Saharan Africans and the millions of Syrians and Muslims that have come in here in the last two or three decades and let the Ukrainians stay, I think, you know.
Another term, asylum seekers. I couldn't remember that one from an article I just found again. Because we had a pound of methamphetamine found in a quote-unquote asylum seeker's a hotel room in New York City. This hotel room, is $93,000 a year for someone to stay at that hotel room if they, you know, weren't one of these asylum seekers who gets free room and board in lavish hotels in the big blue cities now. It's just insane. So, yeah, asylum seeker, that's a good one, you know. But a climate refugee, I think, a climate migrant, climate refugee, that's probably the ultimate, you know, in the global sense that'll be employed, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're always changing the language. I think that the Ukrainians, when they've got wind of this, they're being offered 4,550 Swiss francs per person. But, you know, the message is clear, you know, Switzerland doesn't want them. Poland, by the way, is planning to gradually phase out financial help to Ukrainian refugees as well. And I think the Ukrainians, when they got wind of this, because there's about 6 million of them apparently recorded globally as a result of this situation, they have insisted that they not be called refugees, but something like people who have been forced to leave, in quotes, forced to leave the country or something. So they're always changing the language.
Right.
you know, as if it really matters on the ground, you know. They've insisted that they not be called refugees, but as people who have been, quote, forced to leave Ukraine. Well, what's the difference? You know, didn't we sign up to all this legislation because of Jews in World War II for like people who are refugees or fleeing persecution? I mean, the list goes on and on of people who fit the category. When you listen to some of these NGO groups and these like far left groups talking about people who, you know, who we should import, they are quite honest now. You know, they don't even try and sort of pretend that they're fleeing persecution a lot of the time. You hear them talking about, well, these are people who need dignity. These are people who live in economically dire situations. Okay, well, if you set that precedent, I mean, let's look at me and you in the West, say, or any of us, you know, in the West. Okay, well, once this the economics, the phony economic situation in the West collapses, well, where do we go? Can we go out? Where can we go as economic migrants? And also, can I say I'm fleeing persecution from Jews? Because, you know, if you say the wrong thing, you're labeled an anti-Semite and you go to prison because you hear about these people said, I could be imprisoned in Iran for being a homosexual. Well, I can be imprisoned in the UK for being an anti-Semite. If you look at the Gospels, the Jews, in quotes, persecuted, which is the word used, the early Christians, and they murdered most of them. So where can we go, Richard, once the whole economic thing collapses here and the Jews come for all of us? Do you know if we can go anywhere under the legislation we signed up?
No, not under the auspices of Jewish power. The agenda is clear to make all white countries become multicultural countries as far as the ethnics, the genetics in the nations. I think it's necessary for black and brown people who are allegedly seeking asylum or escaping persecution to flee to other black or brown countries. End of story. To find that. And if there are no black or brown countries that can escape that, then that obviously on a global level is something which should be addressed. But I mean, there are other things I could say about these international groups. Once we get into your other topic, Paul. Good.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots, are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Sound around your brain. Today
Hi, welcome back to Last Man Standing. Here with me, Paul Stevenson, joined by Richard Carey, Beyond the Official Narrative. All right, Richard. So this other story we wanted to call or talk about, oh, I should say in the second half, we will take some calls as well. NATO website calls for nuclear war preparation. In an article on it's an official NATO website, the Western Bloc must be prepared to use tactical nuclear weapons in Europe, former Pentagon official Gregory Weaver has declared. NATO has published an article by a retired American defense official which calls on the Bloc to fight and win a limited nuclear war against Russia should the U.S. and China clash over Taiwan. The author claims that a full-scale war in Europe would likely follow. Well, isn't that lovely, Richard? I mean, you know, this guy he seems to just talk about a nuclear exchange as if it's, I don't know, a few kids throwing stones at each other.
As if they're taking the trash out to the bin and back for the...
Yeah. pickup. And after, you know, it's like, you know, where are you going? You know, your wife's asking you. I'm just going to organize a tactical nuclear exchange, and afterwards we'll sit down and go to dinner, okay? I'll be back soon.
it's really ridiculous. And I mean, well, I don't know. What are your thoughts? Were you going to read more from it before you comment?
This is an article commenting on it. The article, you know. Right. But the article is written by Gregory Weaver, who served as the principal nuclear and missile defense advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In it, basically, what he was arguing is that counter to Moscow's long-standing nuclear doctrine, and this is full of politics and ideology and propaganda as well, Russia may use tactical nuclear weapons either to stave off a battlefield defeat. Well, they're not in a situation for a battlefield defeat. And this is where I remember thinking this about a year ago, and Douglas McGregor talking about this a year ago, is that once the reality descends that they are losing a conventional war with Russia in Ukraine, that it'll be the West who are a danger of a nuclear attack, not Russia. But they're presenting it in usual, you know, flip things completely on their head, like they always do, and project it onto Russia, that somehow Russia's failing here, and that crazy Vladimir Putin, you know, once he's a cornered rat, you know, might use nuclear weapons. So they may use tactical nuclear weapons either to stave off a battlefield defeat or bring about a swift victory to a conventional conflict such as that in Ukraine. In such a scenario, Russian military leadership would assume that the West would not respond in kind for fear that the situation would, quote, escalate controllably to a large-scale U.S.-Russia homeland exchange. So, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, really. But, you know, this idea that they may even need to, like, bring about a defeat to Ukraine with a tactical nuclear weapon, and that the Russians, they would assume that the West, we wouldn't respond, of course, you know what I mean? It's just like, the West, what are they going to do? So the West would be too scared that it would, quote, escalate uncontrollably to a large-scale U.S.-Russia homeland exchange. So, I mean, it just gets more crazy. And, you know, we had obviously had the Cold War where there was a genuine fear and people were constantly scared of this nuclear issue. But yet at that time, there was much more dialogue, much more diplomacy, and much more, it seemed... adults in the room. Now, as I say, people just seem to don't seem to be bothered too much about a, in quotes, tactical nuclear exchange. You know, what is a tactical nuclear exchange? Have you ever seen one, Richard?
Or a diplomatic nuclear exchange? Is that what they're trying to say? We grew up. We were too young to remember the 70s. We grew up in the 80s, and things were more civil between leaders. During that Cold War era, basically, right? So now, if we're supposed to believe that now, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts on it, but first of all, I think it's a limited a nuclear exchange, one way, is what we're supposed to believe, is what they're telling us. I think, number one, their agenda is have the civilian populations of the West in fear from this, Paul. That's number one, I think.
The fear for control issue, yeah, of course.
And keep more loyalty to their leadership, no matter how tyrannical it is, and feel the need for that. There are so many places I could go with this. I have had a lot of suspicions in the long term regarding these internationalists and their goals, which we see gradually realized through the United Nations and World Economic Forum. I hear the break already.
Yeah, we're going to the break, and then on the other side, we're going to speak to Dawn in Arizona. If anyone else wants to call in, love to hear from you. Be back in about 30 seconds.
So much bigger than me, it's screaming out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
And welcome back to Last Man Standing. Here with me, Paul Stevenson. This is the 7th of October, 2023. Yeah, so go ahead, Richard, and finish off your points there, and then we'll go to Don in Arizona. You were making some interesting points in the break.
Okay, well, I could see our greatest threat as far as the white Western world as being NATO. Because NATO at this point has been a military arm of the United Nations. The United Nations and the World Economic Forum, it's pretty clear that they're all about the Kalergi plan. They're all about white genocide in the long run. And I can see that, well, Putin in the long term could be okay with the Eurasian shift that withers things away here. But as far as if there were a non-white future, there would be buffers, of course, from with Israel having Ukraine as a new homeland, theoretically. I mean, Russia would be a good buffer, more likable to Jews, well, more able to be friendly rather than the Arab world or the even Asian world. And but there, of course, is about a bit of, Asian blood, Asiatic blood in the Russian peoples near those borders. Same with the Middle Eastern country borders there. Regardless, right now, I wonder if Putin's been listening to my shows, because people are suspicious of him. You know, I mean, he was a young global leader with the World Economic Forum, and he had a KGB past and all this. People talk about the perestroika deception. You know, is this just another way communism is using an approach post-Cold War, Soviet Union collapse? Right now, Putin seems to be doubling down, at the moment, at least, trying to seem like he's against these forces, which clearly, again, are also on the side of white genocide and all the climate propaganda. Putin declares Klaus Schwab and his close advisors are, quote, legitimate military targets, unquote. So I don't know if Putin's calling my bluff.
Who reported that, Richard? Who reported that story?
Yes, well, we had it actually with an article from SputnikGlobe.com, and someone tweeted out the text of the speech that was on SputnikGlobe.com. Pelham at resist_05 on Twitter. Vladimir Putin has stated globalists, including Klaus Schwab and his close advisors, are, quote, legitimate military targets, unquote, because they have been actively attempting to seize power illegally through a globalist coup d'etat.
As individuals, legitimate military targets.
Yeah, that's the way the wording sounds. I mean, if they're showing...
Send me that article, please.
Yeah, because they have a photo there that shows them sitting down at a table. A Putin, Klaus Schwab, and a couple others. And so it's
listen, it would make sense. It would make sense from everything Putin's been saying. But then you've got the arguments that you're making that, you know, Putin himself is, like, you know, largely compromised, and there's a much longer term nefarious plan afoot. I mean, like I said to you off air, a lot of Russians would be insulted if you suggested they weren't white. I think you're right. There is a mix there of Asiatic blood. People like, if anybody knows anything about boxing, people like, say, Dmitry Bivol, people like that, and also, you know, Arab sort of Muslim influence. But you also have people there in particularly sort of more Western Russia, as it gets more towards the West, I would consider white. I would consider them, you know, Slavs and white. No, I take your point. But anyway, let's go to Don in Arizona. And if anyone else calls in, I think I missed, what's his name? Tom in Florida, I think, a couple of weeks ago. I didn't get to him. So, Tom, if you're listening, call in. We'll get a chance to speak to you. Go ahead, Don.
Hello, yes, Hamas is attacking Israel. Have you seen that?
Hamas, yes,
they're actually attacking. It's actually a military attack. It's not just a...
Well, they kidnapped, I think, 32 of their soldiers, the Israeli soldiers.
Yeah, I saw a breaking story. Israel under heavy rocket attack from Gaza. So they're saying within the last, few hours early this morning, missiles hit central and southern Israel. Damage that is being reported so far, though.
But they got actually people. Hamas is sending soldiers in there and they're
I stand corrected too. I'm sorry. Yes, no. reports of direct hits to Israeli homes in Tel Aviv and Ashkelon, possibly casualties. But is that from Israeli sources? I'm sorry, Don. Go ahead.
They have actually. Hamas has, I guess, a little army, more or less, and they've attacked. They have a well coordinated attack. They're going through the fence. They captured an Israeli tank and some other equipment from the Israeli army. They kidnapped a general, an Israeli general.
That's right, yeah.
So they're not just messing around. I mean, this is a planned deal here. And, you know, I think it's related to the fact that Assad went to China not long ago. Russia is tired of this whole deal with Syria, I believe. They want to put, Russia has China on their side. You know, Russia and China, things are different now. Plus, Israel is a divided country itself. They have all kinds of trouble. Nobody really likes Netanyahu anyway, so they're in trouble. But, yeah, they've gone across there. Netanyahu says they're at war. He wants to
That's right.
Activate the whole reserve, which is really the reserves. The Israeli reserves, is, I guess, is just about everybody in Israel.
I can't help but point out that in an increasingly non-white world, I mean, the biggest military protection Israel has traditionally had from its Middle Eastern neighbors has been the white countries, you know, America, Canada, Europe. So in the future, that's not going to work out as well as far as the amount of protection to stay and, you know, as strong a concentration where they are in the long term. Yeah, you have to see how, you know, there could be some truth to a gradual shift and at least for now a second home base with Ukraine. I do think they want to replace a lot of the population, but there's money laundering. There are so many things that this war accomplishes, right, Don?
Okay, I'll let you go. Tom from Florida will probably be calling pretty soon. I'll let you go. Thank you.
I think it's Charles in Florida, I think. Charles, if you're on the air, go ahead.
I'm going to make a quick question, and I'm going to take the answer off air. But so if you have to support Israel because they're God's chosen people, right, you have to, right, because that's what the Bible says. So if you have to respect them because of their race, does that make you racist? And I'll take the answer off air. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that would be a good counter to of course, this is a counter that people make to this argument, certainly in biblical circles, where people who don't sign on, like myself, who don't sign on to this, that Israel's God's chosen people, and particularly not the modern day state of Israel, which is a lot of where this eschatological system comes of dispensationalism, this blind support of Israel by Christians. But yeah, of course, and beyond, in the more ubiquitous Western world where we support Israel because they're Jews, and Jews alone is really why we protect them based on their race, and because of the Holocaust narrative and because of their God's chosen people. Yeah, of course it could be deemed racist, but we shouldn't be surprised by the double standards that we see all the time, because some races are more important than others, apparently.
Well, but people here, I mean, if someone's talking about an Israeli or a dual Israeli U.S. citizen here saying that they support Israel and the situation there because of their genetics, first of all, I mean, yeah, are we talking about Ashkenazi or Sephardic Jews? As far as people who have ever been in that homeland.
Anyway, I don't want any more anti-Semitic stuff from my religion.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I was in Milan, my dentist was an Ashkenazi Jew, and he's a good guy and a good dentist.
Yeah, well, I mean, from what the caller, the direction the caller goes in, you know, it has a lot of things people would have to work out if they were trying. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think that this greater set of plans, you know, I mean, these organizations...
I will push back on you a little bit, though, Richard, right, on one basic premise that you're making, and I think it's a very understandable premise, that the white race is largely almost going to cease to exist. I think the white race is in a lot of trouble. I think the white European stock is in a lot of trouble, but I think it's too early to write its obituary yet, because you're seeing pushbacks in Poland. They're not taking any immigrants. Slovakia have piped up and said, listen, enough of this.
Hungary.
Sweden, Yeah, Hungary, of course, has never really opened its borders. Sweden has now seen the consequences of their having to actually put the military on the ground to try and control the problems there.
Well, no, I heard a crazy, if I could just really quick, Swedish police, I just heard, are now warning that the criminal gangs have infiltrated the police force, and the mainstream media, corporate media, is ignoring this crisis that's been developing. So, yeah, no, they're overwhelmed, for sure.
It's a cancer. You allow these criminals in from the third world, and eventually you turn a decent country into a corrupt country. It's like Ukraine. By the way, a point on Ukraine. There's all this love for Ukraine, and I understand it to an extent because people are so brainwashed. But the corruption is so dark out there, and this money being printed up. A lot of it's going to, in quotes, for, the salaries of soldiers. Well, these soldiers don't exist. There's a whole corruption network within the military in the Ukraine. So you actually get sort of higher up military figures where they're motivated for their own soldiers to be murdered. Because then who's getting the money then? Keep the money coming in for dead soldiers' salaries. Do you think it's going to be honestly sent to the widows and their families? I don't think so. Side issue.
Well, I mean, the one thing I would just, again, stress is, NATO, it's pretty clear at this point, it's a military arm of the United Nations. I mean, it has become an international army force. And the United Nations is just as much our primary enemy as everything we hear about from the World Economic Forum and these these Agenda 21 initiatives and all that. So I mean that is those are our greatest enemies, the people in the the Western sphere of the white world, United States, Europe, UK. Our greatest enemy is the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. It's not Russia and it's not China. Okay, those are competitors with those who want to rule over us in our sphere is all I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And the handful of Jewish oligarchs that fund them and bribe our politicians and bribe our media. And, that is the enemy we face. And for the most part, they're not identified. And for the most part, no one is interested in talking about it. At least you are hearing people talking about the World Economic Forum. And Klaus Schwab and people like that, but I still find it frustrating that you never hear any talk of the problems with Judaism and Talmudism that is just running amok in the West today, and it's completely, it's, when you look at COVID and then right on the back of COVID, look at the absolute chaos and misery, the murders, the mass murder in Ukraine, the extra financial burden right on the heels of COVID, one of the biggest wealth transfers in human history. They just double down on to the next thing, COVID. Mass murder, ethnic cleansing operation in Ukraine. More financial burden, sending money that we haven't got to Ukraine for a bunch of corrupt, some of the most unscrupulous characters in the world that you could possibly imagine. And a lot of people can't even imagine that these types of people even exist, like I'm alluding to, these military figures who will be getting rich off the backs of stolen money, American taxpayers' money, EU taxpayers' money, that's supposed to be going to fund soldiers who are actually dead and that are being sent to their death so that these guys can profit.
Well, if I may add a couple more points and headlines related to the economy and this war agenda. Well, wage growth is continuing to drop fast here. For example, I know where you are as well. Americans struggling to make ends meet. And that's related to the need for this war. I mean, I mentioned that declaration of Putin declaring Klaus Schwab and his close advisors are legitimate military targets. The BRICS nations, so I mean, they're economic a threat, and the concerns at home with everyday people not being able to make ends meet. These are why we're hearing this announcement from NATO, is the way I see it. BRICS nations to create a unified payment system using national currencies, signaling growing concerns about the weakening global financial system reliant on the U.S. dollar. Okay, these are all reasons why we're hearing this headline about nuclear war from NATO. Okay,
yeah,
folks.
Wait, a couple more, please.
Biden announces major speech on Ukraine. We can fund Zelensky by going around Congress. Okay, that's what Biden administration's current plan is. Executive orders to fund Zelensky because, well, they lost the House Speaker McCarthy. They're worried about, a lot of people in Congress are not on board anymore for the funding, and it's falling apart. Some leftists are getting slammed by Sean Penn, even. A lot of people are slamming leftists who want an end to the war and the funding. Putin is predicting a gradual collapse of the dollar-based financial system, again, in line with all these points. And one more. Putin says Ukraine wouldn't last a week without U.S. aid.
Yeah, I saw that in his speech. And some of the things he said in his speech really hit the nail on the head. He talked about the arrogance of these people being off the charts, you know. And, of course, this is hubris that we have spoken about. And to my mind, this is hubris that largely comes from Jewish racism. They do have this Talmudic idea that they have a right to rule, although it doesn't explain some of the other characters like Biden and Clinton who are not Jews, but I suppose they can sign on to that ideology as well if they want. I don't know. But this is what you mentioned there about the nuclear thing and the collapse of the dollar and everything that we're seeing with BRICS and everything else. That has always been my concern, that if these people see, who are, you know, God's chosen people and have got the right to rule, are challenged by someone like Vladimir Putin and their whole financial system of which their power is propped up by. If they see the writing on the wall that this is collapsing, well, rather than go peacefully, my concern is they're just going to, you know, bring the whole tent down, and, you know, like a dying vampire. He's not going to go easily. He's not going to go peacefully, and that is my concern. But you know, if they see this whole thing collapsing, it's okay. Well, we're just going to have to go, you know, the big time way, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the elites wouldn't like it, but people at the Pentagon, State Department, they're maybe serious about nuclear war. They might be pulled away at the last second from these bankers if it came to that. But anyway.
All right, we're going to break.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, that was on a lighter note. That was the Fury Brothers, Dublin band, and one of their famous hits, Sweet 16, one of the sweetest songs you will ever hear. But anyway, Richard, if anything you want to finish up with, I'll give you the floor.
Oh, well, I mean, just one more to reiterate the Biden administration stance. Biden's worried that McCarthy's ousting will disrupt $24 billion aid to Ukraine. I mentioned how he wants to go around Congress. Pope Francis, though, is currently warning the world may be near the breaking point regarding climate change, Paul. So,
as if I wasn't feeling bad enough, you had to mention Pope Francis.
I saw this ridiculous video of him on stage. There were a bunch of people around him. It looked like some sort of gay party parade around him, like a circus, some sort of gay circus. And he's sitting there enjoying the presentation, you know, and...
Yeah, I think I saw a bit of that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Pope Francis, eh? Pope Francis, good God, help us. Anyway, with some interesting topics there. As ever, we'll keep an eyeful watch on it all and monitor as best we can, and we'll try and focus on some victories. And say there are some things in Europe happening which are positive in reaction to immigration and the war in Ukraine, and so we'll see where it all leads, Richard.
Next time I join you, I'll find some positive news to balance.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't lead to a quote tactical nuclear exchange. I don't know what that looks like, but I get the feeling I don't really want to find out, you know?
Yeah. A diplomatic limited nuclear exchange.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why didn't you say that? It's only a tactical nuclear diplomatic. Well, okay, fine. Crack on. Yeah. All right. So
that's where we are.
How long have we got left? About a minute?
Yeah. Just about. But I mean, Elon Musk, you know, it's amazing. I mean, people are saying, oh, he stood his ground in that meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, and standing up to the ADL. I don't know. It seems like theatrics, the battle between he and ADL to some extent. What's your take?
It's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, I suppose my instinct is I don't fully trust Musk because what does he ever do? It's all kind of, you know, I think he's a guy who likes to keep his profile up there. I mean, I don't actually ever see him doing anything as such. I mean, if he ends up suing the ADL, that would be interesting.
No, it would. It seemed like, though, he was just completely compliant. The footage I saw of him speaking with Netanyahu. And so for people to say he stood his ground during that, I think they're delusional. But
he's got a lot of money. I don't think he'd stand a chance against the ADL, though. I mean, he's got a lot of money, but the ADL have got a lot more money than he's got.
I think one comment was that they believe in free speech, but, you know, when it comes to anti-Semitism, come on.
They believe in free speech. They're an anti-free speech organization. All right. Thank you for joining me, Richard. We'll be back again next week. Take care and God bless.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.